Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Downton Abbey After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Downton Abbey After Show.
And welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Downton Abbey Series 4, Episode 7. I'm John Comerford. I'm joined on the panel by Courtney Stewart.
Hello, everybody.
And Tamara Berg.
Hi, everybody.
And in the booth is Stephen Lemieux. Thank you, Stephen.
Woo, you're welcome.
All right, so this episode where we have Violet gets ill. Alfred makes a visit. Mary goes skydiving, if you would. and Lord Grantham leaves the country. So what I wanted to start off was that they had these three scandals percolating, if you will. And first, we have Edith, of course, and that very challenging thing that she's going through. Rose and Jack. And then, of course, Lord Grantham leaving for what could be a horrible... he's supposedly vouching for Harold, and we'll see how that's going to play out in the Senate committee hearing. But I want to start off with Edith, because obviously that's carryover from last week. I think it was Courtney, if I remember correctly, you were the one that were talking about it originally a couple of episodes ago,
and she would be pregnant.
Yes, and that obviously came true.
Yes.
And
poor Edith.
So awful.
Yeah. So what did you think? Did you guys think that she was actually going to go through with this?
Yeah.
You did. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Did. But then I was like, there's no way they can do that. It's Downton Abbey. Like, she can't have
abortion. Well, that's why I was wondering if anybody would really believe that, because after the hullabaloo about, the whole sequence with Anna and the rape and all that, that he got chided for.
Well, it's interesting that you should bring that up, because it's kind of, downstairs is a little further back in history, I think, than upstairs is. Or maybe Edith, because she's really progressing. And we were talking in the news a couple of weeks ago about how, the ladies couldn't go out without gloves before, in past series, as well as earlier years. And, now they're kissing in public and drinking in public and going to restaurants and, dancing and all that kind of stuff. And so things are really progressing very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so, they're the provincialness of, that's not a word, I know, of downstairs is holding a little more strong, the tradition and that sort of thing. I mean, that's what Carson represents.
Sure, absolutely.
And the things happening upstairs obviously affect downstairs, but it's more like upstairs is a catalyst.
You think it's
for the change,
a little more forward
and
than
a little more progressive than downstairs is, because they kind of can afford to be, in a way. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that literally, but because they have the power.
Okay.
So anyway, where even a few years ago, you wouldn't have been able to find the ad in the back of the magazine.
Oh, that's what I thought.
For
yeah.
example,
that was a revelation. I said, "What? There's an ad in the magazine,
and it's illegal."
And that's what I mean.
That's
illegal.
Really strange. Unless there is just sort of a
code.
There must be. I was like, "How does Edith know the code?"
Right.
I wanted to see the ad. I said, "You've got to be kidding me!"
She 23,
24, whatever it was, and
yeah.
Because it is illegal, and I'm just going, wow, how are they
dangerous.
Advertising that?
Right. I loved, though, how Rosamond was taking this.
Well, I thought the whole thing was great, because she was very conflicted about the whole thing. Go ahead.
No, that's it. I mean, the fact that Edith feels so alone, she feels so isolated, she feels like she is a bad person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She talked to her mom about that. Mm-hmm. And clearly having some... I don't know about regret, but having a difficult time with the fact that, you know, she goes talks to Rosamund. Rosamund says, where are you going to be tonight?
Yeah.
Where are you going to be out tonight? And I, you know, the last time you did this was when you were out all night with Gregson. And darn it, if she hadn't been out with Gregson that night, tonight wouldn't have
been happening.
So, but, you know, thank God Rosamund is embracing her literally as well as figuratively and vowing to stand by her no matter what she chooses. And like you say, is still very conflicted about it because it's a terrible thing to have to go through, you know, for everybody involved.
And especially, but just the fact that she said, you're not going to go
by
I'm
herself.
Going with
when
you.
When she said she would go, I was, wow.
Yeah, that was amazing. And even though she, because I don't even know what her thoughts were in terms of Rosamund. All she, the only thing she said about it was she was just wants it to be over.
Yeah.
And she's, I even like the line where she says, don't put words in my mouth.
Yes.
Because I don't think she's even figured out how she feels about it. I mean, she may have an opinion and certainly some sort of moral question about it, but I didn't get to know, which was, I thought, great because it's not the time to tell her about it now.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. And, you know, the other thing is it's very interesting because Edith was, she wasn't so much looking for advice, but looking for support. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are the moments where this older woman could say, you know, I'm going to tell you what you should do. And I'm going to remind you that it's against the law. And I'm going to remind you that it's, you know, all these consequences are due to your actions. But she didn't do any of that. You know, she just said, I don't put words in my mouth. You're not going to hear what I think about any of it. I'm just going to support you no matter what you choose.
Yeah. And it's a cool, like, sort of to look at generationally the women and how you kind of get from the Rosamund the idea that if it were her in her time, it would have been a way different, worse situation for her.
And
that idea, it's almost like that was present in her. So whether or not she agreed, disagreed, or liked, or what have you, she was able to step out of that and just be there for Edith.
And also very interested, just the way she said, Rosamund said, one of those places.
I mean,
what images it conjured in her mind, rather as opposed to what we saw where they went to Dr. Thompson's,
like
or whatever.
Like a proper doctor's office.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting, too, because in her mind, it's got to be one of these
back alley, literally.
Which could have been where it had been done in her day.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So to speak. So, I mean, that so much was shown without really saying much.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all left to us to figure out, which I thought was wonderful, too. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that was interesting when they went into the place – before that, I should say, when before they got there and Rosamund and Edith was having the conversation, she said – the whole thing about I don't like you're going to let me into your drawing room and say hi. This is my niece and her bastard child, and she's worried about being the outcast.
Yeah.
And the whole idea that she's not going to tell Gregson anything if they were ever to come back together, and she would marry him if he wanted to.
Yes,
and you know, and what Rosamund was concerned about is your whole life's going to
be a lie,
right?
And I thought so many things were laid, and they had so much conflict there.
Yeah.
And it was very quick, but
very
full.
And that the baby is wanted.
Yeah, that was the other thing.
Said...
And, man, it was just...
So if the one circumstance would have been different, that Gregson would have been here, you know, divorced, or she had been there, the whole different path
If he would have been
taken.
There, they would have had a quick marriage, probably. Well, I don't know. He couldn't have because he's married already.
He's not
so they wouldn't
yet.
Have had a quick marriage unless they moved to Germany.
Right.
And that's still there. Oh.
Right.
At least
so,
they've been
no
there.
Good thing. So, okay, so she doesn't have the abortion. So,
thank goodness.
And then we don't know how this is going to pan out later, but clearly when she comes home and Tom asks very innocent question.
Did you get everything done?
I know. And I'm going, wow, they're playing it for laughs a little bit here.
Right?
I'm going, I guess, you know, kind of want to lighten it up a little bit, but the look on her face. But they played it as a joke line, which I thought was kind of, all right, nice, way to go.
Well, I didn't get that done, if that's what you mean.
I was like, whoa,
hey, wait a sec, why do you ask?
Yeah. And then the other thing was you got the next generation with Rose coming into that when Edith decides she's not going to do it the next morning, and Rose is told that we just got to get out of here. And she, of course, so selfish and wants just to have her night out and continue to have her nights out with Jack. So let's move into that real quick because.
Yes.
There's scandal there. They go out rowing.
Right? We had a little glimpse of that through last week's news.
Yes, yep. We did.
And and Kiss.
Yeah, because last week it was downstage in the kitchen in dark.
In the dark.
And, yeah.
This
and
was
hidden.
Wide
this is way out
open.
In the open.
Vive la différence, as she says, right?
Mm-hmm. She's a bold young lady.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite different. And so Jack, of course, says, yeah, he does want to kiss her. He does want to be with her. But I like him. He's very rational in the sense of what's going to come of this.
Yeah.
And all she cares about is living in the moment.
Yes, of course.
Classic.
Are you
classic
afraid
Rose,
of my family?
Right.
should be. A better.
Yeah. You should be a little bit. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, this is probably deviating from the actual character upon which mm-hmm. Jack Ross is based, because that guy was a bit of a predator, you know, when it
it's
came
Lothario.
To Lothario. Thank you. That's a much yeah. better word. Erase predator, please.
Yes.
A Lothario.
Erase.
Following and right. seducing ladies with titles and money,
lady.
You know,
yeah.
right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And making sure that he was taken care of. So,
yeah.
You know, Jack Ross doesn't seem in that, you know, with that sort of.
No, well, you know, I imagine the
intention.
Real the real character was would go with somebody a little bit older because they're more able to get to
funds
more quickly.
Exactly.
So, and you know,
but he's cute and she's cute, and you know, if you take away the, you know, all the stigma and the time and all the mm-hmm. scandal of it,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of a cute little romance.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, it's adorable on the boat.
Yeah, they're stealing
except,
away.
Yeah,
like,
but again, I gotta go. I'm still part of me is going, well, wait a minute, how old is this guy and how old is she?
Good
I still
point,
think she's 14 or 15 or
well,
whatever. She's 16.
No, she's coming
she's
out,
16.
So she's,
she should be 16, right?
I was gonna say
18.
I thought it was 18.
I don't know. I don't. That's the thing. And she said that she told Cora that Cora had told her that most girls would
come out.
Come out.
So maybe she is 18 because I thought they usually come out at 16.
Okay.
So
well, let's just say we don't know, but we think she's about 18.
Right.
That would be fair to say. Okay. Great. So everybody. Okay. I'm on board then. I didn't know. I still don't know how old she is, but even at 18, I'm going. How old is he?
Yeah. He's in his 30s.
He's
got to be in his 30s. Yeah,
in his 30s.
Right.
Yeah.
Even that is like what? You know. But okay, whatever.
She likes him old, and mm-hmm.
she's
brown.
Charming.
Yeah,
pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She likes
not good's gonna come of that.
Well, you know what I thought was interesting too was that she was ready to tell Edith all about her dreamy night out.
Yeah.
Right? When she came home late that night. Oh, but and Edith just shutting her down.
Yeah, but do you think she would have said it was Jack Ross?
I don't know. She kind of felt like she was ready to spill it all. Okay.
Maybe to Edith, since the
well, yeah, because me and Mary—that's obvious. We know that she knows that Mary saw him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that was no
secret.
If she wasn't willing to say it to Mary, do you think she'd say it to Edith?
I think she'd be more likely to tell Edith than Mary for sure.
All right.
Because Edith, you know, because Mary's the one who would judge you.
Yeah.
Like Edith
That's
wouldn't?
True.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, no. If
not
I,
right
okay.
now.
No.
Not while she's pregnant. Like, it's one of those, like, okay, now we both have something, so maybe they'll
end
up
Rose doesn't
in each
know
other.
That.
Not yet, but that might give her, like, a little bit where she feels like she can confide, and then Rose
That's
will, like,
true.
Spread all the news and ruin
for
it
sure.
for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Right. So we both have something on each other.
You know, speaking back about Edith, last episode she was having a little bit of morning sickness issue. Remember, she was having trouble at the breakfast table, and we haven't seen that.
No.
This episode, you know, even though we know she's pregnant now, so I wonder how that's going to play into things or how that indicates where she is in things.
Well, I just like when Rosemont asked her, you're going to tell Cora, and she goes, well, I have to eventually. Duh, yeah, of course you're going to have to tell her.
I actually thought she was going to tell her when she was talking about being bad and all of that and, like, beg for her to, like, be there for her, but it didn't come.
She'll either have to tell her or she's going to end up on, I didn't know I was pregnant.
She should just pretend like she didn't know. Exactly. Like, what do you mean I'm pregnant?
I really love Miss Patmore's cooking. It's just delicious.
Exactly. Mrs. Patmore has been making extra puddings.
Like,
exactly.
Edith, you're getting very large.
So
I had so many fun.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. So our other scandal to be, I should say, is Lord Grantham getting the telegram in the early morning. And
which
off
set
to America.
Set off
everything.
Whole
sets everything off.
Yeah.
So he gets a telegram. He's livid that he has to go to America.
Very angry.
Cora's mother has sent for him. I went, how does she send for him?
Like, I know.
And then he has to go. And it's already been decided.
But I suppose we've decided already, he says, which is obviously you've decided for me, is what he's saying there.
So is he going because his mother-in-law asked or because it's Cora's mother and he's going to
It's his undying love for Cora.
You
right. That's what she says.
Yeah,
she
of course. That's what she says.
An act of real love.
Oh, yeah.
Because she knows he doesn't want to go or feel like it's worth going at all.
Or is it, right, but I'm just wondering, is it because, you know, for instance, if Violet had said, I need you here, he'd have to go. Does he have the same kind of thing with his mother-in-law? That's what I'm wondering. Because they're formidable ladies. If she says, hey, I need you in America, you need to, you know, vouch for my son.
On a certain level, maybe.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that it's a Senate committee meeting, yeah, right? So it's a big deal.
Right.
And, you know, when you're people of wealth and power, mm-hmm, you pull out your wealth and your power,
sure,
when you need it.
It needs
and
to be so, on display.
Right, exactly.
So, and so, I mean, the whole reason why Cora married into this was for legitimacy to the family, to give them a title.
Right.
Well, not the whole reason. But, that, I mean, I'm sure she loves Lord Grantham. Yeah. But, you know, that was part of it. It wasn't,
of course,
you know, it wasn't all romance. I'm sure it was arranged to some degree.
A little bit.
So now they get to, now we, this is the investment we made, and now it's going to pay dividends.
Right,
you
but
go,
you know, and if you think about it, it's a, you know, it's a scandal. It's in America, yeah, mm-hmm, and bringing in someone of note, a mm-hmm lord from the old country, mm-hmm, could potentially, you know,
sway
give him
some,
a little, exactly, mm-hmm, sway some of the power, mm-hmm, and you know, it could also mean absolutely nothing because he has no power.
Didn't mean that much, really?
Yes. I remember, well, when Lord Grantham was talking to Bates. No, who was talking to Bates? Talking about how he needed. They have an outfit for everything in America.
Oh, right. That was,
I mean,
funny.
What?
Really?
What are you, who's calling? Calling the kettle black?
I know. I don't know that part of our history. Apparently,
no,
we do, but I'm not a fan.
Not by then.
With it. So okay.
But, well, I mean, it's still, you know, the houses of Newport and
yeah,
the,
well,
you know,
sure,
the society and all that, mm-hmm, kind of stuff. I just finished reading a book about that.
Okay.
And, you know,
But what do you wear to a Senate committee hearing? That's what I want to know.
Just a suit at that point.
That's an excellent,
right,
question. I'm sure it's not white tie.
I wear the ascot, the double breast. What am I wearing here?
Not the morning coat,
yeah,
or
exactly,
no?
What's the appropriate attire for such an occasion?
Yeah. That was funny, though. Yeah. Oh, you know, and something I meant to bring up last week that I didn't, mm-hmm, about Lord Grantham was he used the word skedaddle. Do you,
yeah,
guys remember that?
Yeah.
He was getting up. He went, well, I must skedaddle. I'm like,
right,
Votio Do.
Okay. And this week, in keeping with that tradition, we have Violet saying goody goody.
Goody goody.
So, you know,
they're bringing in
the common vernacular, the topical, yeah, euphemisms of the day or something. But I don't know. Okay.
You're the bee's knees, Lord, yeah, Grantham.
All right. So, but let's get to what else that kicks off, because obviously now that Lord Grantham has to go to America,
yes,
Bates was going to have to go.
Right.
Yes.
And he, of course, refuses, doesn't want to go, tells Anna he's not going to go. And Anna says,
well, you're going to lose your job.
Exactly,
you got to go.
You have to, so go pack. And then immediately goes out in the hallway and in
cries.
The hallway again. I don't know if it's the same hallway, but I was noting the hallway
it's
you were talking
always
about.
Always the dark hallway.
Exactly.
Right.
And just crying like crazy.
It's a horrible place.
And he goes to Mrs. Hughes to try to figure this out, and she comes up with the plan. She's always coming up with a plan.
Yeah.
And we find out later it's because she's a plotter.
She can be a plotter when she needs to be.
It's a skill every woman should learn.
Every
That's
woman.
Right.
All right. So she goes and tells Mary that Bates shouldn't go and that Thomas shouldn't stay.
And Mary had a real nasty comeback.
Yeah, it was.
Well, I mean,
I was like, Mrs. Hughes wouldn't ask, like,
yeah,
under, like, it would have to be, like, dire
but
circumstances.
I liked it because,
I loved
you know,
it.
Because,
yeah,
first of all, that it was a little bit snarky, I liked. But, you know, she just really laid it out like it is,
yeah,
you know, because you kind of feel like you're making concessions for the help sometimes. And Mary going, you know, but, we do hope that we're good employers and I want to help you, but we expect to get what we paid for goodness sake. Which, I mean, I liked that she was maintaining the boundary,
yes,
to a
and,
certain
the
degree.
Other thing I thought was more interesting was what she said, look, if you really want my help, you're going to have to tell
me
everything.
Facts.
But she doesn't do that with her dad.
No.
Right.
He doesn't need to know all that.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, oh, so you have to tell her everything, but you can ask your dad something, and because she doesn't give him all the facts. I thought it was interesting.
I think we should just like to point out the quote you just said.
What?
A skill every woman should have.
All right. But, it, you know, what was it like you
Sometimes
said?
Sometimes we need it's to keep
like,
things from the
if
men.
If I told you, you'd understand or whatever.
Yeah,
I loved that, though.
Yeah. That was a good
it's
point.
It's not up to me to tell you or I can't tell you.
Right.
But if I did, you would agree with me.
But
which is very
Mrs.
persuasive.
Mrs. Hughes should have said the same thing.
But Mrs. Hughes isn't on the same level.
I know. But you know Mrs. Hughes. She knows Mrs. Hughes. Mrs. Hughes wouldn't ask. And
well,
was
that's
really
why she shouldn't have said anything to begin with. When Mrs. Hughes asked, she should have been like, oh,
I know,
something
I
terrible. But it was great that she did. It's like, Mary, you're such a
hypocritical there. That's all.
Yeah, well.
But it sets that off, so
it sucks
he's
to
not going to go.
Sometimes.
Thomas is going to end up going. Very happy about it.
Yes.
Back to the scene with,
sure,
Mary and Lord,
sure,
Grantham. You know, so they're talking about I should think that Thomas would be happy. to go, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. With all those handsome stewards strutting down the boat deck. Oh, Mary, don't be vulgar. What do you know of these such things? And then her line, I've been married. I know everything.
Is that what it takes? It just takes marriage.
Yes.
And then you know it all.
That's as risque as the two of them.
Oh, it was hilarious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was hilarious.
Great moment.
Loved it.
Don't be vulgar.
Don't be vulgar. Oh, because she's talking about the gays.
Well, yeah, of course.
And Grantham doesn't want to talk about the gays.
They're strutting
stewards.
That's right.
Strutting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. But Thomas would probably have a good time.
He would enjoy it. It would be a nice view. Very nice view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Men on leave. Or in uniform. I don't, whatever. All right, so moving on. So what I liked about it is the whole, we finally get to see Jimmy and Thomas talking.
Yes.
We haven't seen that in a long time.
Since they had their problems
and kind of befriended each other.
This
is the first time we actually see them being somewhat pals.
Friendly.
Chums.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But again, as they're being friendly, we get to hear Jimmy being just such a jerk about
it. He's such a douchebag.
Well, okay.
And he was so cute and fun. And yeah. He was like Rose in the downstairs, but now he's just douchebag. He's like, please don't be too mad at me. She would have slapped him.
I only asked what a million other guys would ask.
Yeah. Wow.
So, boy, they turned on Jimmy fast, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. When he becomes a cad.
Isn't it interesting? Because I agree with Courtney. At the beginning, I thought he's a nice enough guy. He's kind of fun.
Fun distraction.
But so quickly has it turned because Julian has been writing him as such an idiot. Jerk. I mean, it's terrible.
He's just been being a jerk.
Who can be mean to Big Alfred? He's mean.
And for no reason.
For no reason.
You expect it of Thomas because Thomas, that's what he is, but I haven't seen Jimmy be that way. Now that's all he is.
It's okay.
So, I don't know. But, of course, Thomas, now that he is going, he wants Baxter to find out why. So.
And little Mosley hears a little bit.
Yeah, just enough.
Just enough.
Just enough.
What do you have to report on?
Right, that was interesting that Mosley caught that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be, I think it's going to be fun to watch how Baxter finds all this out.
Yes. Right.
Because so far she's kind of flying under the radar.
Was kind of making a list of who all knows now.
Yeah.
And who all's starting to know. So we've got, Anna obviously knows and Bates knows, right. Hughes, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And Cora knows too. She knows something.
If
Mary knows 3/4 of the story,
right.
Cora knows probably 1/4 to half the story because she knows that there was an incident that Bates did not protect Anna from. So there's that. And I mean, when you start getting that many people knowing a secret, it starts to get
out. Remember how the story in the first episode when you were talking about how O'Brien left and the chain reaction. Like wildfire throughout town.
Yeah.
And that's good. Yeah, sure. Sure, everybody's going to start to know.
Right. And, a couple of comments that we've gotten, I've got them from all over the place today, this week, but, Baxter and Thomas are related. Have we already talked about that? Or is that?
I remember they talked about it. I can't remember how they're related. I don't know if they're blood related or what. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah, a couple of people are saying that they think that they're blood related. Uh-huh. And then can I talk about some of our comments that we've gotten here? SJJB2, who's in the UK, says hunting accident it will be. I agree.
Okay, yeah, a lot of people liking the idea of a hunting accident. So that's great.
So, let's see, there was a prediction from Star to be number one, thinking that Mrs. Hughes will step in while Bates is away, but Bates is obviously not going to be away now because of that. Here it is. So she also said, I think Baxter and Thomas are related in some way. Maybe there has been a family death or an accident and Baxter gets the blame for whatever that is in their history and Thomas holds that over her. So that's why he's got his thumb on her. Basically a couple of people, Sean Dixon had said, I think that Thomas will somehow be involved in the unfortunate hunting accident. I love that you guys are calling it that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Because he's
a common euphemism for that.
So he's been set up to find out what happened through Baxter, and he knows deep down that he owes Bates and respects Anna.
But, you know, I don't know that he respects him so much because he did say that one thing about how she's incorruptible, so she's nothing like me. I don't know that he respected her in that way, but I think maybe he does a little
and
bit.
And he wasn't
so much.
Great in the first, like, episode with them. He was already kind of picking at them when What's-Her-Face came
exactly.
into town. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Right.
So, that would be too.
But I do think if he's reminded of it, I think that would get to him. Meaning if somebody reminded him, look, he saved your ass, I think that might have an effect on Thomas. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much, but.
But Thomas would be the, like, spirit to do it. Like, his energy. He's, like, got the evil that it's okay that he's got the evil to do it, and we'd be fine with his evil doing it.
Of course.
So, I could be okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So another one is that Thomas owes Bates for saving his job, and that this will even the score, and more so, Thomas can hold it over Bates's head, and Mary and Cora will help cover it up. That's from Penny in the UK. Oh, no, she's in the U.S., actually, I think. She says, I'm probably way off Bates' base, but that's what I came up with.
Okay.
We love that. We love the crazy predictions.
Keep them coming, absolutely. Go to iTunes, go to
YouTube.
Right? Just let us know your... I don't
tweet
care. The more outlandish, the better.
Yeah, we love getting the tweets, too.
Although, whatever you have.
Those are fun.
We start getting the tweets on, like, Saturday night or Sunday.
Sunday night.
Sunday. I think it's Sunday afternoon. We start getting the tweets in our time, and then I have to, like, turn off my Twitter for a couple hours until we watch, because we don't watch it until Monday. But but we love it. So do keep writing in and letting us know. Thanks for hashtag unfortunate hunting accident.
I feel like I'm about this Thomas thing.
So let's get back to this storyline about Anna and, you know, because really what I want to get to is how Gillingham shows up and Gillingham's valet, Mr. Green, and he appears. And, of course, whenever he appears, everybody loves him.
Except because they
think he's just the life of the party. He was so fun to have around. He played the game and all of those stuff. So they're all thrilled to have him until, of course, when Anna walks in. And I loved how nobody read it except Mrs. Hughes.
Right.
She got it right away. Even Bates wasn't really paying attention to this part.
Right.
But she got it right away. And she knew. And then the confrontation she has with him in the back room.
Yes.
Man, that was a good scene. That was so much fun to watch.
It's what we love Mrs. Hughes for, you know, those moments where she can
stand up for
people.
Just,
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. And doesn't take any crap from him either. He's trying to weasel out of it. And she goes, no, I know who you are and what you did. It wasn't you drinking. No, she had no, not at
she had
all
no
her
fault in this. It was your fault.
And even when he asks if Mr. Bates knows and she says no and he thanks her, he goes, no, don't thank me. I'm keeping secret because of you.
Right.
I thought he was like, go, fisticuffs, let's go at him.
Just
go,
him
Mrs.
Out.
Hughes.
I don't know. I was nervous in that.
Yeah, because you thought he might do something.
Angry,
exactly. And he, you know, in a way still has an upper hand. Well, obviously because he's perpetrated the crime and not paid for it yet. But again, you know, this net that's being cast of how many people know about it and how many people know all of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now there are three who know all of it, potentially four when Bates figures it out. But it was making me nervous because he's obviously a volatile guy.
And, true.
And he, you know, he's a psychopath of some sort, you know, or sociopath.
Yep.
And standing there, you know, shining shoes and just smiling because he knows he's gotten away with it to this point. And it was just making me very nervous. And I kept trying to put myself in her shoes and going, you know, would I, as much as I would want to, do what I could to let him know what was going on. Was that the best play to make if, you know, if you're playing the long game to eventually have him be punished for it? And
to give that information.
But
that
I mean,
know.
She may not think there is a long game. There, you know?
Because here's the thing, when it comes down to it, it's a he said, she said.
It is.
Because there's nobody witnessed it. There is no evidence at this point.
Right.
It's just what she says and what he says.
Mm-hmm. Right. So which is why it's never going to go to court.
Exactly. No. And he thinks, what are you going to do?
Right.
Yeah. So he can just sit there and shine the shoes and have that, you know, smug
face.
And
you know he's gotten away with this before.
Oh,
this isn't the first time he's done this.
So Mrs. Hughes had to protect Anna. Because if he knows that other people know, then he'll hopefully at least temper himself.
Yeah, well, see, exactly. That's what she's hoping, and that's why she's doing it. But because of what you said, Tamara, that's why I thought it was so brave of her to go in that room and close the door. Because he is so volatile and stuff. And she got nothing on him.
She's not afraid of him.
No, not at all.
She probably has him.
Yeah, exactly.
Knife or something.
Who knows? Maybe she even wanted
a knife
to do
with her key ring.
Yeah, exactly.
Or corset or
you never know. She's a plotter.
Exactly. She is a plotter.
You know, so who knows what she's thinking there. But that's why I appreciated the scene so much, because I thought it was great, because it was very tense. And you're right, he is volatile. He could have exploded. He could have done anything. He could have, you know, attacked her for all we know.
Yeah.
Which why I thought it was a well-written scene and wonderful to see her do that and just not take any guff at that guy. I thought that was great.
Yeah. No, I mean, I loved that. It just, you know, it just made me nervous because we want everybody to we want to start throwing stones at it.
And whether or not it was a good idea, I don't know. That we'll have to wait to, and that'll
we'll
be born out. So we'll see. But after that, then, is when we go back to the table and everybody later on in the day or the next day, whatever it was, and they're having breakfast and they're all eating. And Anna's having to sit through this, and Green is sitting across the table from her.
Directly across.
And, you know, talking to Baxter. And then he unwittingly gives himself up. And then the look on Mr. Beasley.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. He finally says, "Oh, yeah, I didn't want to listen to her. I came down here to get away
from
it all."
Peace and quiet.
And just the look on his face, man. And then I was thinking, well, there's the unfortunate hunting accident in the works right there.
It's going to happen at the kitchen table.
Because that wasn't a look of, you know, surprise or shock or disdain.
No.
I mean, there was murder in his eyes.
Vengeance.
It was affirmative.
It was the thing we've seen and the thing we know.
Mm-hmm. That was his prison look.
Right?
All the things he learned.
I've been to the Hooskow.
But then, you know, like you say, Baxter kind of going, hang on.
Oh, yeah,
what is going on here?
Yeah, something
I need to connect some dots.
Yeah. So I mean, this is going to be tearing up his thoughts for a while. Bates is going to be going, okay, now I know who it is. How am I going to do this? We even saw the preview. And he, you know, she says, "You're not going to do anything. Would you say drastic or silly or stupid?" Oh, I can't remember what his word was. And he says, no, of course not. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be able to avoid that.
You know, not that we need to get into predictions yet, because we don't. But, you know, I think Bates, having been to prison, mm-hmm. is, let's hope he's at least informed by that experience. And,
how to kill and get away with it?
No.
Oh, sorry.
That he doesn't want to go back?
Taking into consideration, you know, the thing that Anna was fearful of.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great conflict. It's great drama. I love it.
Mm-hmm. It's terrific.
Yeah.
So, all right. Did you have anything else to say about
he's
that?
He's a smart guy, but he's also a dark man.
And in love and ready to protect his wife
Absolutely.
At all costs.
And probably is willing to go to prison for it.
Yeah,
but when you got the Granthams on your side.
I know. But, you know.
I'm telling you, it's going to be.
He ain't going to think rationally. I mean, it's going to happen.
It's going to be so
Someone's going to have to talk him down off the ledge.
Mrs. Hughes will have to, like, talk him into, like, doing it
exactly.
intelligently.
Exactly.
That's
what
I think. Together.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Hashtag unfortunate hunting accident.
All right. Let's move on to Mary and Blake.
Oh,
a little levity here. I mean, they're still at each other's throats and don't like each other. Of course, and they get into their arguments and everything like that. And that part of it we've seen before. But I think, last week we were wondering, are they going to do I hate you, do I love you?
Of
and that's
course.
The track where they're going.
It does.
Of course. So. What is this, number three for her this
right.
season?
Right.
All of them.
Well, you got even. Well, they're all under the same roof.
Exactly. You got three of them under the same. Wow. And I'm going, really? Like, really? She's that much of a catch?
Yes, apparently.
Yes, she is.
She has the magic, you know.
Well, they even said that. Who was it? Edith said that Blake was not under her spell.
Oh, yeah. She did say that.
Well, he
Too
is
late.
Now.
Now he is.
All right. So they start off because, you know, the pigs are coming. The pigs are coming.
The pigs,
Let's go see the pigs.
We might as well just get to that part because the rest of it is all the setup. And, you know, they're just at each other again. They don't, you know, he doesn't think they deserve it. If they don't know how to use the land, then they shouldn't have the land and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it's not until they take the walk. I thought when they were starting the dinner, it was just going to be the three of them. I wanted to be there at the dinner because I love the way it started out in the drawing room.
Right.
When he comes down and she's, you know, they're the doldrums. Brainless
dullards.
How are they going to entertain him or keep him occupied? So.
Which is great, yeah. And Mary, that was rather rude.
Yeah. Oh, God. So they're going to go take a walk, and I'm going, they do have a car, right? They didn't have a car?
Did you realize they're wearing evening dress right now?
They don't take a walk.
They don't go put on their tennis shoes. They're runners.
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay. So they end up with the pigs who are dehydrated and almost dying.
They knocked over the trough.
Apparently very easily.
And the pigman is nowhere to be found.
Some pigman. I don't know if he was the pigman who becomes highly recommended, was in charge of all this.
He may not have been hired yet.
No, could be.
Perhaps.
Clearly, that's why we need somebody, a pigman. So then they have to go through the bucket brigade to keep them alive.
To water the pigs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's so impressed that she gets dirty. Not even dirty. I mean, she's like,
she
flat out in it, man, right?
She ruined that dress is what
absolutely.
She did.
But, and that was, as it was happening, I go, there are a lot of audience members, me included, that have at times wanted her to be in the mud.
Just because
you're so sick of her being so high and mighty.
Yes, being so aloof.
Aloof, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. There you go. They
brought her down to earth, literally. Yeah, stuck in the mud.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I loved how she didn't hesitate, really. Her only hesitation was, damn it, we didn't bring the car.
Right,
yeah. But the rest of it was ready to go.
She's I'll run, I'll get the pig man.
My
pigs.
They're my pigs, absolutely. And he didn't look much better.
I got to tell you, though, if I were her, I would have hesitated just a little bit.
Oh, really?
And that dress was fancy.
Yeah. It's mud. It's not just like, let's throw him some food. No.
What, like? Anna can get that thing clean, right?
No, that dress is ruined. That dress is now becoming a quilt.
Shoes?
It. Yeah.
All right, so it's a mess.
Sorry, we're being girls over here.
That's right. And then at the end, he throws mud at her. And they've been slinging mud at each other the entire time they've known each other, and they literally are slinging mud at the end of it.
And that's how you follow.
Well, and she says, how do I look? And he says, you look like you could be in Country Girl, which is Country Girl, which is a magazine,
sort of
I'm assuming. Yeah,
periodical.
So he has kind of a new view of
her. Certainly a new respect. And they said, what was the word they used? A new...
I don't know.
They were in the kitchen. They were talking about a new discovery. A night of discovery.
Night of discovery.
They learned, they learned something about each other that night.
Right. It was a night of discoveries.
Mm-hmm. She's feeding him eggs and wine, which is a lovely thing to have early in the morning.
Hell yeah,
eggs
it is.
Eggs and wine, yes.
A little of the Downton Abbey wine, which is coming in my mail next week. I can't wait. I'm telling you, we're going to have the Downton Abbey wine. Did you?
You ordered some too?
We're totally having it for the finale next week.
Okay, I'll bring the eggs. All right, so they're having breakfast together, and he's discovering that he's so impressed that she can not only get muddy and dirty and save the pigs and everything, but that she can
she's even more of a catch now.
Yeah. When did she learn to cook? Because I remember when what's her name was
Sybil. But that's all she knows how to do. That's what she says. That's all I know.
But that's like a stove and fire and having to do all that.
I don't know.
How'd she pull that off?
And she's not Sybil. Sybil went down there to learn.
Yeah, she went down to learn. I remember that. Go Mary.
So, I don't know. She knows that. So apparently that's good, too.
Maybe she had to make eggs for little Sybil once or something.
And she was a little indignant that nobody was there waiting for them. What are they thinking?
Because they were out all night.
Nobody was up waiting for us, and she was a little bit kind of concerned about that.
It was a little weird. What would Anna do? She never came back.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't.
But here's the thing. That's the thing I was wondering, because they've had this attack by some ruffian. She just learned about it today.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe is that why she's concerned? I was out all night and nobody's here.
Nobody noticed.
And then even when Carson's talking to Mrs. Hughes, he's saying, "Do I leave the door open?" She says, "Put a key in." And they're all talking like this thing didn't really happen.
And Mrs. Hughes's comment was, "We're in England." Things like that don't happen. Hello, they did happen.
Yeah, they just happened.
That was a little. I don't know if that was just a miss or if they're trying to connect
to make light
something.
Of it. Yeah,
I don't know.
That seemed like a miss. I'm going, wait a minute. That seems odd. Why are they talking like that? Something just happened. Yeah, you should be concerned.
But wouldn't you think? I mean, because I grew up in a house where we didn't lock the front door, and it was nothing like Downton Abbey.
Did you grow up in Canada?
We didn't.
I mean, it's not like it was a little town. It was, it was a medium-sized town. But you would think that there's a certain level of safety that comes with being at Downton Abbey, because there are a zillion people all around. It's not like you're alone in this house.
Right.
This
house is somewhat remote. I mean, you got to walk from town to get there.
Exactly. So I mean, I don't know.
It seemed odd to me that they seemed to be a little bit lax in their discussion about it.
Right. And then Ivy comes in, which tells us what time it is.
Exactly.
Good morning.
Oh, well, you're up. We should leave. But even the other thing it was telling is that Mary didn't know her name, which I thought was funny.
Yes.
Yeah. And not that she should, why should she? She's a scullery maid. So,
she doesn't come upstairs.
But I thought it was, you know, it seemed a little bit embarrassing for her to not know her name.
Yes.
But,
yes.
Blake. It's like, yes, I got in the mud, but I'm still.
Yeah, exactly. Let's not forget I'm late.
But funny that Blake did not want to leave his eggs.
No.
You know, he was like, I guess. I guess we should go upstairs. Yeah. Didn't he look like he was a little forlorn?
Yeah. Well,
there's half a plate of eggs there. And a good
I'm sure he wanted to sample them to say how good a cook is she.
Cook?
Exactly.
We can do things.
Yeah, there
Miss
you
Mary.
Go.
You got pigs.
So, that's right. And then she wakes up very late the next day.
Yes.
She's
yes.
up very late the next
yes.
day. And comes downstairs and they're conspiring. Not conspiring, but they're talking about the pigs ending. And they know all about it and stuff like that. But the big thing is that Lord Gillingham shows up.
Right.
So he's there, and he's in his tux already, or later on in the day. And, you know, they're walking down the steps, and one of the first things that she asks is, how's Mabel?
Yeah.
And he won't even talk about it.
Nope, not talking about Mabel.
Wow. And then they just, oh, yeah, let's just move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting. So they're going to be, oh, the moment where Mary turns away. So she walks out of the room at that point.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was amazing.
Napier comes up behind her, right, and says, you know, I hope you don't like, he saved our bacon. Blake saved our bacon, literally. And Napier says, well, I don't hope you don't like him more than I do. And then a few minutes earlier, more than you like me. And then, you know, a few minutes earlier, she'd been talking to Gillingham. I'm still missing you.
Yeah.
But when she finishes with Napier, turns away, and there's
the sigh. Yeah.
Oh, good Lord, there's another suitor. After
Napier says about the competition line. Now there's just more competition. And,
right.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and then she sighs with it.
Good Lord.
So she's clearly not that taken with anyone. There's no front runner.
It seemed to be.
Even though it seemed like Napier was going to be a front runner when they first came back into contact.
Well, Gillingham certainly was a front runner.
She was ready for that.
No.
Yeah. It's a love quadrilateral.
Yeah, you got her. You got her with three, and Edith doesn't even have one at the moment
because he's gone.
But he's gone. Oh, he's gone in the oven.
She's got love in the oven.
Oh goodness gracious!
My goodness!
Love in the oven. Thank you.
Oh God! Hopefully, one in Munich.
I don't even know where to go with that. So I'm going to move on to Alfred.
Okay.
Because Alfred comes back. He wants to visit. His dad's not feeling well, but he wants to make a stop at Downton. And you know, as soon as they say Alfred, I'm going, oh no!
Not again.
And you see. Daisy gets a little dander up, and you know she's the ire.
Oh boy, is she just protective of him?
Oh yeah,
very territorial.
You're excited, why?
Yeah, I know.
And you treated him like crap.
You know, what she's been saying to Ivy for you know a couple of weeks now, Ivy still seems to either not care or doesn't understand.
I thought it would be nice.
Well,
but she's trying to be inclusive. She's trying to get Daisy.
We missed Jimmy, didn't we? Didn't we all miss him?
Jimmy being his jerk self. So, nah, not really.
Not so much. But I just forgot what I was going to say.
Oh. But so why do you think she's being so inclusive? Do you think she really looks at him differently?
Yes, because of her experience with Jimmy.
She's come a lesson with Jimmy.
She now knows. Exactly. She's got some perspective
that she didn't have before.
Not appropriate.
That's all the more reason to say it.
So. That's what we got Courtney for.
She got molested by what's-his-face, and so now Alfred looks like a real gentleman.
In comparison,
he does. Well, she has some perspective now, and I think that's making her appreciate him. But interesting that as he was leaving, you know, there was the whole we had the flu in the house.
What flu? Put him up at the pub.
Let's go have a drink. But then, you know, him leaving, he says, "You've given me something to think about."
Don't think about it.
Jeez.
Because she's fickle.
No, I'm just going to say.
Go be a chef, Alfred. You'll find yourself a nice hotel worker lady or something.
Yeah, you'll find somebody that really appreciates. Just move on. Just get away.
Exactly.
not going to help you. Go on. Move on.
And
when Miss Padmore was pushing him out, push him out quick.
Yes.
Get him out of there.
Go.
By the way, Miss Padmore is a horrible liar.
Oh, my God. She shouts her lies. I loved it.
We have the flu.
So we have the flu. Yes, we have the flu. It's a terrible flu. Oh, boy, she is a terrible liar. Yeah, I love that. That was hilarious. Mm-hmm. Good comedy.
Good stuff.
But they were obviously right because, you know, and, you know, go Daisy, give it up.
Yeah.
Oh, Daisy calling. I'm looking at my notes. Calling Ivy, accusing her of having a cold and vicious heart.
That was harsh. Okay, but here's the thing. She said something similar last week, and last week Mrs. Hughes said
came to her.
It was deserved.
But that was okay. You said your piece. You're done. Like you don't keep doing it.
Yeah, so, that's, right. So she's just saying, okay, you're done?
You're
yes.
done.
Yes.
Yeah. You're being extra dramatic right
yes.
now.
Yes, that's right.
Close it.
Exactly.
I was surprised they didn't pull someone out in the back, whatever, and just dress them down and say, all right, knock it off. You know, I want Ms. Patmore, somebody to pull one of them out or both of them and say,
oh, God.
Cool it. Enough already.
Exactly.
So, but, you know, because that's what I'd think that would happen. But no, they didn't do that yet. So we'll see.
I liked them calling him the Downton Heartbreaker.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know that. Where was it?
It was between Hughes. It was Mrs. Hughes. I think it was between Mrs. Hughes and Patmore, or maybe when all three of them were together.
Okay.
We
got to
keep the Downton Heartbreaker away.
Oh, wow. I missed that.
Funny.
I don't know how I missed that, but I
did. Liked it.
So.
Liked
That's
it.
Precious.
Yeah, it was precious. So, but he's gone again. So what what are we going to, you know, it was nice for them to bring him back and everything and keep the story going. But I mean, how are they going to keep having excuses for him to visit? Or Ivy said that, are they going to bring him back again?
He's going to pass his test and come back and make something miraculous for them.
Work for the Downton Abbey?
Well, if he's now taking a shine to Ivy, then he has reason to come back, you know?
God, please don't.
To date Ivy and make Jimmy really upset.
No, I don't think he's going to be really upset.
Remember
what he said? He spent too much money
on her. But he'd be upset just because he hates
Speaking
Alfred
for cats.
Nothing. Reason.
For nothing.
For like, nothing.
I took you to a movie.
Yeah.
Give me underwear.
That's about all it does.
It's terrible.
All right. All it needs. All right, but okay, and then we also saw the beginnings of what maybe we don't know the woman, but Tom met somebody at the lecture.
Yes. Is that the nanny we're speaking of?
Yeah, I mean, is it? I haven't seen the picture of her.
Woman?
We're probably way behind a bunch of other fans because they probably have seen the pictures of her.
Well, no, we did. That's the
did
woman
we?
That we saw.
It is,
maybe two or three weeks ago.
Not in costume.
Right. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago
so
we saw that in the news.
So that is the woman who's going to be the nanny.
She's the next love interest for him.
Okay, there you go. But I thought it was... for weeks now he's been questioning who he is, where his place is, and now he's even questioning his politics. He used to be a socialist. And I don't know where I am now, and I'm a man who wants a better world, and boom, there she's right in front of him. So I thought that was a nice little
world.
Metaphor.
Right.
That's
there.
It. Exactly.
A new world. That's all I got.
Okay. So, and, you know, the whole, you know, the seats there and, you know, we're witnessing a budding romance and I'm going, wow, they're really pushing that one.
Yeah.
You know, wow, does it have to be on the nose so much?
I mean, that happened. In case y'all were confused.
Yeah, exactly.
Here she is.
But there you go.
There you go.
So this will be interesting how that plays out. So, but he doesn't even seem to be interested at all.
Which is why it's going to work.
Right.
It's going to be fabulous.
He's going to be hit over the head by Cupid.
Not even going to know. They're going to be like
but
working
hard
together.
But wouldn't he have already been hit over the head?
No.
It'd be better.
They have to talk about farming and like the new world
and
that
liberal
they're going to
politics.
Build together. And like they're going to bond over their politics and he's going to find his place in politics
yes.
again.
Yes.
Right. Before or after she's hired?
I don't know.
Well, she could be a nanny for someone else.
2 months.
Is the
yeah,
thing.
That's the thing.
She could
she's
be a nanny at another house.
And that's where they only meet, like, at these political meetings or something.
Right.
And
right.
then they get, like, star.
I could struck. Be totally wrong about her being a nanny. I read that somewhere, but I didn't make it up.
I believe that's what it is.
She'd be a nanny at somebody's house.
I think she's a nanny somewhere else. She's not going to be a nanny at Downton because they've already got the nanny situation
Which would make
figured
it better,
out.
Yeah. Anyway, because you don't want them dating the nanny in the house.
Well,
I don't know. It worked out for Bates and Anna.
Well, I'm just saying, if when Edith declares. They're going to need a nanny.
Oh, my
That's
gosh.
That's it. She'll come to the house.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
And they'll need somebody who's willing to take care of a bastard child.
The last we got to quickly get to Violet and Isabel
talk
about this thing. Because
we talked about some of it already.
A little bit. So, of course, Violet's not feeling well. She gets ill. And it's Isabel that comes to her aid, nurses her, and tends to her. Even so much that Isabel is so ill, I guess, that she's kind of delirious. And doesn't
she
even
has
know
bronchitis,
yeah,
first of all, and has a fever.
But at her age, it could be anything.
It could be, of course.
Serious.
Yeah.
So, and doesn't even recognize that it's Isabel that's caring for her.
What about Cora? What about Mary? Weren't they here?
No, exactly.
No.
Nope.
Talking about the nurse, take that mad woman with you when you leave.
So, but again, a great opportunity for Isabel to
a task.
You know,
when
you're dealing with your grief, when you're dealing with what's all going in inside of you, it's the best thing that you can do
just
is to tend to someone
else,
help someone else, give to someone else.
Outside of yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Gives you a purpose and helps you move on from whatever you're being consumed by.
She was a nurse, so it's great.
It's perfect.
Yeah, but I just love that she didn't even recognize. She talked about how horrible the food was. Disgusting.
Oh, yeah, how disgusting the food was.
It would taste so bad.
And Mary
was like, yeah. I'm not sure she's fully delusional.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, and then Clarkson telling her, look, that mad woman is the woman that's sitting at your side. That's the nurse who's been taking care of you. Oh, crap. That's the last thing Violet wants to hear.
Well, and you know, earlier on when she was feeling ill outside of the house, do you want me to come? Yeah. That is the very last thing I would want.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So after this, is there going to be a reconciliation between the two of them out of gratitude for Violet?
No, she's going to be awarded in heaven. So we don't have. But we do see him playing cards, which is kind of fun. That was a really cute little scene there.
And, it was. Mm-hmm.
But even Isabel was realizing, why is this happening? Because it didn't seem real sincere to her.
No.
How long does this game go on? Ages. Oh, goody, goody. So even, Isabel knows there's something's up.
Yeah.
But it was nice that they had that moment. I mean, they're really playing with those two because, we've seen them come and get together. And then the last few weeks they've been apart. And now she does this. And I don't know. This is going to be fun.
I like the tit-tat.
Yeah, they're going to have a good time.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's going to be interesting when Shirley MacLaine comes in, which
we keep hoping that. Let's see. All right. So is there anything else to say? Because we're running long and we got to get to our news.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of news.
All right. Let's get to our news.
Let's move on.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Let's see. Some of Britain's biggest stars, including Dame Maggie Smith and others. Look, this is how I wrote my news. It's a mess. I did it in the car. Came together to perform some of their most acclaimed performances as part of a once-of-a-lifetime evening last week, celebrating the National Theater's 50th anniversary.
Ooh.
Cool. So Maggie Smith chose to reprise her role as Mrs. Sullen in the comedy The Beau Stratagem, which she starred in 1970. The evening also featured... Ralph Fiennes, Benedict Cumberbatch, Sir Michael Gambon. Nice. It was a 2-hour show broadcast live on the BBC.
Oh, wow.
And
cool,
here is Helen Mirren doing her, Maggie Smith doing her
nice
monologue.
Look at that.
All right.
So
looking
that looked
good.
Pretty fantastic. So it was, some of their most classic roles that they had done. So neat event for folks in the UK to have watched. Speaking of the UK, the government is backing a £9 million push to attract more US visitors to Britain following a sharp rise in tourist spending and what is being called the Downton effect.
Well, clearly they're buying the wine. So.
Right, exactly. That's by an American company, though.
Yeah, okay.
So the £8.8 million investment is being half-funded by Visit Britain, the other half being funded by the travel site Expedia.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Spending by overseas visitors is expected to hit about £20 billion this year, up from £18.6 billion in 2012, even though that was when the Olympics were.
Right.
So Americans account for $2.4 billion worth of overseas spending.
Wow.
And that this has the potential. They're thinking that this has the potential to increase it greatly.
We have ecotourism. Now we have Downton tourism.
Downton tourism, exactly. The Downton effect. The money, is going to be used to fund a television campaign in the U.S. starting in February, which is, shortly after this.
Exactly. To coincide with the release of it here in the States.
Exactly. Laura Carmichael, poor Edith, is loving being not so poor anymore. Uh-huh. She's now the sister wearing the sexy dresses and having the tempestuous romance she's always wanted.
Uh-huh.
But she says it's a bit shocking and it's getting up to it has been quite shocking and great fun. She says she was a struggling actress working as a doctor's receptionist when she got the role in Downton Abbey. Downton has changed my life. It's crazy how it's caught on. I recently did a play in in London's West End, and I'm living my dream all because of the success of Downton.
Look at that. Good for you.
She did a press junket here in the U.S. and was just amazed because the fervor is even bigger here in the U.S. than it is in the U.K. And she says people are mentioning Downton in the same breath as Mad Men, and it's making her head spin. Paul Giamatti is in the Christmas episode, which is
exciting.
Coming.
They're, so they're calling Cora's brother Harold.
They're calling next week's episode the finale, and then the Christmas special. They're calling the Christmas special, which is a little different how we do it in the U.S. But so Paul Giamatti was in town shooting that episode, and they went to one of the cheesiest clubs near Highclere Castle. because they had a fancy dinner, and he said, I want to go out now. Also, she's having more nights with Paul Giamatti, as it were.
Whoa.
Laura Carmichael has signed to make the film version of Madame Bovary with
Paul
her.
Giamatti. Ooh, yes. Nice. Okay. Good for her.
And yeah. I just want to show you a couple of pictures.
She looks like another whole person.
They are besties. Michelle Dockery and Laura Carmichael are actually best friends, hanging out together.
Wow.
And look at her here on the red carpet.
Goodness gracious.
Check that out. I mean, with the smoky eye and the red dress here, yeah. She almost looks like a different person.
Mm-hmm. She does.
She looks quite
I wouldn't
amazing.
Have recognized her if you hadn't said that.
No, I know. Pretty great. Lady Mary and a few other TV stars in the UK bared their faces.
What?
For Children in Need. Children in Need is a BBC UK charity that since 1980 has raised over £600 million to change the lives of disabled children and young people. And they do a telethon asking people to, women, to bare their faces and show up without makeup on. And so here we've got Michelle Dockery looking beautiful. Mm-hmm. And here she is with her bare face. Looking equally beautiful.
Like, she has a big mark on her face. What is that?
That's the bare paw from that charity.
Wow, yeah, she doesn't look much different.
No, she doesn't. Well, this is a lot like what she looks like in Downton, you know, without a lot of makeup. So they were doing their telethon last week. I don't know how much more they raised this year, but that's what we have for news and gossip this week.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Tamara.
All right,
that takes us to our predictions. So let's get on with that. Now, let's see. How do we want to start this? Do you have anything off the bat?
I don't.
I know we talked about...
Okay. Do you have something you want to go
with? No, go right ahead.
So we missed the, you know, narrowly escaped the abortion.
Right.
But I'm going to agree with your last week's prediction. Mm-hmm. And a couple of other people online have also agreed with it, saying that we think that Edith is going to lose the baby.
Yeah. I think so.
Just, you know, through happenstance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sad.
It's the most tragic way to do it, and that'll make good TV.
And let's face it, we've already had a death in childbirth. We have another. We've already had two children for the show.
Yeah.
Missing a parent.
I just think they're going to do something different, and it's so tragic that I think that's what will happen.
I don't know. There's still that choice, though, of Edith taking her child and moving to New York.
Absolutely. I that could be interesting, too. I'm just saying I don't know if they're going to play out the pregnancy and all this, because we've already kind of done that.
King Grayson
so
just come
it
back.
May do something. And he may. I don't know. But I'm just saying just to be different, I'm guessing that they'll do a different tack on that.
So next week is our finale.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what we've got. So there's going to be a lot happening. What do we think about Gregson? Going to come back or not come back? Not?
No. If he comes back, it won't be to the Christmas special.
Okay. So
he won't be here next week. No, I don't think
so.
You're right. I don't think we'll see him next week.
No.
Okay. What is going to happen
He'll
next
show
week?
Up just when she's found somebody else.
And he'll from losing back. The baby.
Will it be one of the three, one of the triangle, quadrangle?
I don't know. Well, she says,
she
you know, the whole idea that she's going to find the tenant farmer or whatever. I don't know how that's going to play into it. That's what
now,
the
wait
preview.
A second. Remember that we do have, right, the farmer next
door.
Yeah,
yeah. So I don't know how that's
going to
play
gonna
into it.
Mary's going to get
yet.
With the farmer next door.
No!
Because she's disgusted by all the men in her life because they're all.
They're just going to have more suitors and more suitors.
They'll just
gonna
keep
going
after her. Yeah. She likes to be with the pigs now. She'll find new purpose.
Do you have any good predictions? I'm really stumped right now.
I'm actually at a loss, actually. Yeah.
No, I have no good ones other than what we've already talked about. So I guess that's it for predictions.
I mean, it's so hard because I don't think they're going to wrap up the green story in the finale. I think it's going to get wrapped up in the Christmas special.
Absolutely. I believe so, too. But I don't know if I'm going to wait that long. I mean, that's going to be weird to wait. But who knows?
Right, we're going to have to wait like 5 weeks or something
like that,
right?
So. All right.
It's painful.
All right. Well, we can't wait any longer.
Let us know your
predictions. Yeah, you tell us what you think. So, and then we'll chat about it. Courtney, let them know where they can find you.
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stuart Starlet.
I am at Tamara Berg, TamaraBerg on Twitter. Also, my website is TamaraCentral.com.
Okay, and as I always say, you can't find me anywhere but here, and I will be right here next week, so we'll see you next
time.
Can't
wait till next week.
Thanks very much.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.